June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-T or mensteclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Got Masterpiece of the Week coming up in about 30 minutes. The Chi Block in just a moment. But, you know, I did say that we would have multiple giveaways on the show today.
Are you serious?
And I feel like we've only done one.
Did you hear that, Jake?
I heard him.
Let's give something away!
877-881-1053. Caller number 10. Right now, you just heard the commercial. A four-pack of tickets to go see AEW All in Texas. The show, July 12th at Globe Life Field. You can buy tickets, of course, at AEWTix.com. Or you can win a four-pack for free right now. Caller number 10. 877-881-1053. Now, it's time for the Chi Block.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, for the final time in world history.
Do you think it will be the last time ever? Surely we'll all go on vacation again sometime.
That's true. Honestly, I hope to be back here Chi Blocking at some point down the line.
I like it.
But we are going to get a Corey Majors sighting and maybe an Alec Medford sighting, assuming he's overcome his birthday shenanigans.
Sure. And maybe next week a T-Pain giveaway.
The old Monday fun day with Tallahassee Payne and Corey Majors.
Love it.
It really doesn't get much better than that. Unless, of course, you're Shohei Ohtani.
Mm.
And you have 28 home runs and 6 triples through your first 80 games of the season.
Amazing.
You look in the mirror and you say to yourself, the last time someone did this through 80 games of a season, it was Willie Mays in 1954.
Wow.
That's pretty badass.
If you're in the same category as Willie Mays, probably doing pretty darn well.
No question. We interrupt the baseball just to remind you that we are 34 days away from NFL preseason football. It's pretty cool.
Oh.
I think we're actually going to get a July football game for the first time in a long time.
I like it.
Since maybe the modern era, some would say.
Oh, man. Is that right?
Dude.
We need to fact check that.
You know who's been really unbelievable since the calendar became June?
Juan Soto.
Juanathan James Aloysius Soto.
He's
batting .325 in the month of June. We call that good. 10 home runs, 18 ribbies, just under .500 on base, just over .1200 OPS.
Wow.
23 walk-a-roonies. That is getting it done.
That is, man, that's freaking incredible. That is really, really impressive.
Especially on the heels of just the entire Juan Soto New York Met disaster.
Yeah.
Man, this is a long contract, and we figured that it would start to even out a little bit, but it was getting loud there for a while.
Yeah.
And he's answered the call.
Is it at all possible this is not fun that I throw out another baseball story?
No, I think this is great.
Okay, because we didn't really get to finish this one.
Oh, I was wondering about this.
Okay, nicely done. So Wander Franco, 2 years, essentially a suspended sentence. So if he doesn't break the law again, he should be fine.
Which we can all agree sounds pretty ridiculous for what he is being charged with.
Yeah.
Like, we think you did, what is it now? We think you did...
He was guilty of sexual abuse of a minor.
Okay, you are guilty of that. We've determined you are guilty of that, and you will not go behind bars unless you do something else.
Wander. This is what the judge actually said to him. Do not approach minors for sexual purposes. If you don't like people very close to your age, you have to wait your time. That is what the judge said, while also essentially saying, time served, you're good to go. Prosecutors have sought out 5 years in prison. Now, from a strictly baseball perspective, there are multiple legal experts who said yesterday this conviction could definitely prevent him from being able to return to the United States. Or at least get like a work visa or something like that. Because like, look, if he just came back to the United States and he had like a low-key job or like ran a business that nobody knew about, whatever. But like, playing in Major League Baseball is pretty hard to miss. You're like, what? He is back? Yeah, I had 3 doubles yesterday. So it does feel like there's a good shot his career is over. People might have thought his career was over anyway before this, but it looks like from a like logistical standpoint, his career might be over. I'll be curious to see if that is the case and if the Rays try to get any of that money back.
And we certainly can't let him in the minor leagues.
That is some edgy humor.
Sorry about that. All right, let's go ahead and cleanse the palate with a pretty cool giveaway.
That's very clever, too.
Thank you.
I'm proud of you.
The Yankees are giving away a George Costanza bobblehead featuring George sleeping under his desk.
I love it.
For Seinfeld night on August 21st. Now, that is a theme night at the ballpark I think we could all rally around.
Were you a Seinfeld watcher? Are you a Seinfeld watcher?
My dad definitely was, okay. And so I've seen plenty of it. I do appreciate Jerry's stand-up.
Yes.
I think he's got a little Wander Franco to his game as well.
Oh, because his wife is so young, right?
I think there was a lot of youthful rendezvous.
Oh, dear.
That's neither here nor there, Hagee. The point is that show was good, but I haven't seen every episode. I wasn't locked in like that. It was a little before my time, but I've seen plenty of it, and it is really funny.
And George did create a badass desk.
Oh, my God.
Where he had, like, his alarm clock and all these drawers and everything, and I was like, that didn't seem so bad.
So he's sleeping under the desk, and, of course, the desk reads there on the inner wall of the desk, "I love a good nap. Sometimes it's the only thing getting me out of bed in the morning."
Man. It's going to be a tough day, right? When you get up and you're like, all right, so in 6 hours, maybe 10 hours, I'll be able to nap. That's got to beat you down going into it. Like, yeah, that's tough.
Yeah, that's very tough. Speaking of tough, being a Pirates fan would be difficult. Jeff Passan was on 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh, and he was talking about Bob Nutting and his reputation around baseball as the owner of the Pirates. This is what Passan had to say about Nutting. Quote, "I think he's seen as someone who has a passionate fan base, who has arguably the most beautiful stadium in Major League Baseball."
Cosign.
And he's completely wasted it.
Wow. I mean, their ballpark is beautiful. They obviously have just an unfreaking believable pitcher. Mm-hmm. And they're like, who needs to spend money or be competitive?
Did you see what the specific comment was that led to the heckler being banned from all ballparks that went after Ketel Marte?
What was it?
So this is actually from Ketel Marte. He is revealing this.
Feels like a fair source.
He says, "I came to bat. I'm ready at the plate. I hear this fan shouting. He was at the top of the dugout. He yelled at me saying stuff about my mom. He was like, quote, I sent your mom a text last night."
Okay.
Now, his mom did, Ketel Marte's mom died in a car accident back in 2017. Mm. Now, but here's the kicker on this. Marte says, "When everything happened with my mom, I was actually playing a series in Chicago." And so this took place. This heckler was in Chicago.
Yeah.
So it was kind of just like,
yeah,
it just was insult to injury.
Right.
Every time Ketel Marte goes to Chicago, this is probably one of the first things that is most synonymous with that city for him now and that ballpark.
And that makes sense to me. I think about that all the time when people talk about like tragedies or like specific incidents or deaths or whatever that happen like at or near a holiday. I always think like not only do you have to deal with the crushing sadness, but it's a really quick reminder. I'm sure people remember if it's like June 18th, but not everyone's going around going, "Happy Christmas, Merry Christmas." And you're like, okay, now I'm really sad. So, man, that really sucks. I'm glad that fan got banned.
Yeah, and shout out to Ketel Marte, who does close it down by saying, "I'm praying for him and his family, and may God protect them and help him heal his heart."
That is delightful. I strive to be a person like that, and I struggle with it constantly.
Okay, let's go to the San Francisco Giants broadcast where they were playing against the Marlins. It was like the fifth inning, and Marlins batter Dane Myers was so upset after getting punched out that he did one of the coolest thing in sports, which is just break the bat over his thigh.
Yes.
And we don't get that enough anymore.
Sure.
And the San Francisco Giants broadcast, talking about the Marlins player doing this, they weren't really crazy about it, but I'm here to defend this guy. Okay. Nonetheless, here's the way they handled it.
Got him with the slider. But three runs. Unhappy hitter, Dane Myers. Marlins back ahead.
Bush.
Myers threw a temper tantrum after striking out to end the top of this inning.
Now, let's take a look at the temper tantrum. Near, near, near. This doesn't feel good when you do this.
No.
I'll tell you what, that's impressive.
One more.
Yeah. Look, he's a young player. If he knew how much the opposing pitcher got out of that and how enjoyable it is, he would never do it again.
He should know. He was a former pitcher.
Yeah, you're right.
Oh, that's kind of a twist right there at the end.
It was a twist. And I don't think he cared about the fact that he used to be a pitcher.
It really does not seem as though he did.
And I'm sure it does. Like, as a pitcher, when you frustrate a hitter that bad,
yeah,
towards breaking his,
yeah,
own bat.
But you're here to defend this, right?
Well, I just think from a baseball entertainment standpoint, I enjoy watching that, whether the bat breaks or not. Because if it doesn't, yeah, break, now it's funny.
Okay.
And if it does break, it's like, damn.
That it's badass.
Really, really impressive.
Every single time I ever saw Bo Jackson do it, I was like, that's badass. Every time.
It'll never not be cool in,
yeah,
my mind.
Yeah.
So, and then also you just know, like, dude, this guy cares a lot.
He does.
This guy cares a lot.
He does.
And at least he didn't go full like Brock Burke and punch a wall and then be out for,
yeah,
6 to 8
yes,
weeks. You know, like,
yes,
he knew that he was strong enough and his, you know, that bat was no match for his thigh.
Do you think the headline should have been, like in a newspaper story or something, the thigh's the limit?
Ooh, perhaps.
Like just a picture of him breaking that bat?
I love that idea. Speaking of thighs, Hagee.
Oh, no. This is my fault.
I'd like to take you to the Mets broadcast where Keith Hernandez has his eyes on Spencer Strider.
Oh.
And folks, check out the legs of Strider. I mean, his legs are unusually large. Look at the thighs. My goodness.
Biggest pitcher's legs since Jonathan Broxton.
They're like big oaks.
All right. So first of all, that's an amazing Seinfeld tie-in. Because Keith Hernandez played a prominent role in a little short little Seinfeld arc. But secondly, I don't think this is as weird as I used to.
Yeah.
Because of Mike Bacsik. Because Mike would walk me through. He's like, no, yeah, you need, like, you look at that player and you look at his butt and you're like, okay, that's good. And you'll look at his thighs and you're like, that's a great base. And he wasn't doing it to joke or whatever. So I get it more than I used to. But yeah, Keith Hernandez is intrigued for sure. Would you help Keith Hernandez move?
I mean, not for free.
Okay. Not just because you're a friend of his?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't think I would be able to do that.
Good to know.
I know collectively in the G-Bag Nation, that's like one of the cardinal sins of adulthood. Don't ask another friend to help you move.
All right. Let's say push came to shove. Include yourself in this, if you don't mind. How, yeah, would you rank from most likely to least likely the four of y'all? Or, you know what? If you want to include Lucius, the five of y'all. Most likely to least likely helps.
June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-T or mensteclinic.com.
Somebody move.
Okay. Broadus talks the biggest game about not, you know, thinking like that is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
But I think Dawson would be first on the list of most or least likely to get involved with a moving situation.
All right, so he's, okay, five.
So he would be five. Sorry, somebody just texted in about Caitlin Clark breaking news, and now I'm trying to like figure out.
Oh, is she going to play?
I hope so. I really hope so. This is like the one sports thing that my wife can get excited about, dude.
Oh, is she super into the WNBA, or is she just like Caitlin Clark?
She's a fan of Caitlin Clark.
Okay.
I can't get her to really watch much in the way of anything sports.
She has been ruled out versus the Wings because of the groin. Now, she missed her last game, and this is one of those things. I have no doubt that there's a real injury there, but a lot of people were wondering what the deal was because she was struggling so much, especially on the road. And here's another road game. Her shooting woes have hurt her. So she is out for the big time matchup tonight against the Wings at the American Airlines Center. That's a legitimate sellout, by the way, which we said it would be when it got announced however long ago.
Man, that is... I just feel bad for Mike Peasley right now.
Yeah.
No one's a bigger Caitlin Clark fan than him and his daughter.
Yeah.
I know that was probably a planned daddy-daughter date situation.
Yeah.
And the wind just got completely taken out of those sails.
Yeah.
For so many people.
I'm one of those people.
Yes.
I wasn't going to be in the building,
but yeah. I was planning on watching the game.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you want to see the crowd as well. So hopefully... Paige Beckers and the Wings bring a little magic to not only get the win, but also, look, and this is the biggest reason, to get people to come back. Like, maybe all 19,000 whatever of those people that are going to be in the building tonight, they already really like Caitlin Clark or Paige or the WNBA or whatever. But I'd be willing to bet that some people are just there for, like, the name value and for, like, it's going to be a big event. Dallas people love big events.
Yes.
And so you want to get those people to come back. Like, you want to get these people to go to Arlington for a regular season Wings game. Like, that's the mm-hmm. key of all of this.
Well, thank you, 817, for pointing us in that direction.
That sucks.
So 5 Dawson, 4 Broadus, 3 Lucius, 2... Wolchuk, 1 me.
You're the most likely to help move the nicest guy in the G-Bag Nation. You are a delight. I like it.
Maybe it's reverse of that. I don't know.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, I got a couple more Cowboys things, actually. I want to talk with you if that's okay. Plus, maybe we can go back to Caitlin Clark being out and Masterpiece of the Week. We put a lot of pressure on Jacob. Can he live up to the hype? We'll find out next right here on The Fan.
He looks back to Durant at second, comes home with a 2-2 and a swing and a miss. That on a slider away. So Seager is out on strikes. The Rangers now 2-for-9 with men in scoring position.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. I love that cut because it encompasses the struggles at times of Corey Seager. It encompasses the struggles of the Rangers in terms of outs and non-productive outs, that is, with runners in scoring position. So we're going to get to Masterpiece of the Week in just a few minutes. And I actually have a Cowboys note I could throw out for you as well if you want. But, Eric, usually y'all show, well, the G-Vag Nation does still run into straight into Rangers. How big is this series for you guys? Because we have, it's Rangers against the Mariners. They're ahead of you in the standings, of course, but probably more importantly, you need to continue to win series. You hit the midway point at 40-41, all right? So that would put you on pace for 80-82. But you've started to build momentum, but it feels like most of the times you build momentum, it kind of washes out. Like, so you had the momentum coming off of Washington, Minnesota, Chicago. We talked about that, and then get swept by Kansas City, all right? So this is still a weak part in your schedule, or at least a mediocre part of your schedule. Win the series against Pittsburgh. Win the series against Baltimore. Have like 2 pretty deep no-hitter attempts. Now you return home, go up against Seattle, a division opponent who's kind of in the same spot as you are. It feels like a really important series.
Yes, yes, it's a huge series. And I think you'll be able to say that really moving forward now because of where we are in the season. Because you're still under 500 as it stands right now, you're 8 games back in the division. At some point, time is not on your side.
For sure.
So you have got to start stringing together some consistency. Like you said, you get these moments of, oh, okay, things are where they're supposed to be. They're going on some runs. And then it ends before it really gets going the way we all want it to.
Yeah, and then you got Baltimore again after this, and Baltimore is, make no mistake about it, they are not a good team. But then you finish out with San Diego, finish out the first half with San Diego, very much a good team. And then the Angels, who are, again, like the Mariners, pretty much in the same spot as you. And then the Astros, which is the team you're trying to chase down. So these next 6 games, especially since they're all at home, this feels like another opportunity to kind of really strengthen
your case going forward, whether that means you think you want to be able to be a buyer or whatever. I said going into the stretch of games, I wanted you to go 12-6. Right now, the Rangers are 7-5 in that run. So I would love to see just really unbelievable series against the Mariners in Baltimore to build up that record and build up that confidence. Quick Cowboys note for you. All right. So if your options are miss the playoffs, lose the wild card, and every other round after that, what would be your prediction for how the Cowboys season ends up?
My guess is they miss the playoffs.
Okay. Miss the playoffs is a pretty hefty favorite.
Okay.
At minus 220. We'd like to direct your attention, as Gavin Dawson would say, to losing the wild card round. 4-1 on your money right now for losing the wild card round. This feels like a team that, and I hope I'm wrong, but if they make the playoffs, it will be by the skin of their teeth, and they'll probably be an underdog in the first round of the playoffs. So whereas miss the playoffs, you got to bet 220 to win 100. Losing the wild card round, bet 100, win 400. And as you could predict, it goes up significantly from there. If you think they're going to make the divisional round and lose, 8-1. Conference championship, these odds feel too low. Hasn't happened in 30 years. 20-1 on your money. Win the Super Bowl, 33-1. Interestingly enough, the highest wager on the board is losing the Super Bowl at 55-1. Because they're like, hey, if this Cowboys team made it all the way to the Super Bowl, clearly something's going on. They're not losing that game. So yeah, if for some reason you think they're going to make it to the Super Bowl and lose, 55-1 on your money. But I think you're spot on. It feels like miss the playoffs or losing the wild card round are at this moment the most logical endings to this season.
Yeah, that wild card bet is the one based on the odds.
Yeah.
I'd be down to go ahead and throw a little down because it's not out of question that could happen.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. All right. On a scale of 1 to 10, what is your confidence level in Jacob going into Masterpiece of the Week?
Man, I got to say, he's had this look in his eye all week, but especially after I dominated him in the chicken tender, What a Chicken Tender. He knew like he's really only got one more opportunity to save himself and his reputation moving forward. This is that time. The time is now.
I'm not going to lie. I'm like at an 8.5 or a 9 at this point. My expectations are pretty high. So it's time for Masterpiece of the Week.
List this.
Hey, buddy. How are you feeling? What's your confidence level?
Gentlemen, I am. I think I'm close to a 9. I wouldn't say all the way to 10, but I think we'll get there.
Ladies.
About the time. So,
Jake us there.
Yeah. I will. So, for those who don't know, this is the segment of the week where we go through all the odd and wacky, and in this case, increasingly concerning audio that happens on these airwaves. And we have a tradition here where we like to pick on people who aren't here. There was a situation during crosstalk, I think it was on Tuesday, where Brian Broaddus was mentioning a couple things that, and issues you might run into as you age. And he just wants everybody to know that it's okay and not to worry about it.
Crapping in your pants is not a bad thing.
So matter of fact.
And that is not as out of context as you might think.
No, it's really not.
That's exactly how it was. And he even gave us an audible, too.
What's that? Oh, yeah, that was him because he was reenacting.
That was his mouth as Ric Flair's butt.
I do remember that. Okay. No, not what you said.
All right, up next, I don't know if we've ever had this before, but this one has actually not graced the airwaves this week. This one was done. This one was done during a tease.
Oh no!
So, yeah, Kevin, I'm sure you remember this one.
Oh, plenty more that flaggy goodness.
I can't believe we didn't run with that.
I can now. I wish the other part would have been in there. We're almost immediately, Eric, will you agree? Almost immediately, I'm like, nope, don't like that.
That's true.
I'm an idiot.
All right, let's show Eric some love here. This one's one of my favorites. So he was describing, I actually don't remember what you're describing, but it sounds pretty bad.
It's always impressive when you can be huge and you're vascular. Yeah. I was talking about Yandy Diaz, bro.
Oh, I believe it.
That's not what it sounded like.
I believe it.
And then this one.
It's really his biceps.
This one was a little, this one had to be dug out a little bit. Was a little off off topic, but doesn't sound as bad as, or it does sound worse than it is.
Play with kids. Oh my gosh.
That's it?
Man.
That's
all we're going to get there. I think that was the New York Post article.
I think it was too.
Dominican Republic police involved in this.
Seriously, man.
All right, up next, Eric chose to share one of his favorite home exercises with us. And this was day one, I believe. This was a good way to get the week started.
Shake and explode, shake and explode. That's going to be an at-home exercise.
I don't even remember.
Man, it's this blank and blank that's getting you into trouble. Yeah. So you had huge and vascular, and now shake and explode.
And he doubled down, shake and explode, shake and explode.
Yeah.
Not
sure you know how a man works.
I don't even totally remember this one, man.
Shake and explode, rest period. Yeah. Man, depending on how old you are, go back to it.
You might need a couple days in between. Yeah.
Or if you got men's tea.
All right, up next, Eric was talking about something he really wanted to sip on. I really don't remember where this one came from, but here we go.
You got to earn the right to sip on that thing.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh.
All right.
I believe that was the juice box.
Play that one more time, though, because this is a category I feel good about. Supportive teammate Kevin Hagelin backing up your ideals. Corey has all kinds of these where he says something absurd, but I support it. Play it one more time.
You got to earn the right to sip on that thing.
Okay. I support you.
Yeah. What? Maybe that was championship celebrations. I don't know. You got to earn the right to be a champion and drink the championship champagne.
Did you hear Alex Caruso's like, yeah, we didn't do that right, but hopefully we'll get another shot.
He also said it's nice that I finally won a real championship because his only other one was with the Lakers in the bubble.
Oh man! In your face, LeBron.
Take it.
Take one of those rings away.
All right, up next, this is the same topic, I believe.
June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-T or mensteclinic.com.
But Kevin wanted to weigh in on the whole juice box situation.
Because you have to squeeze it unreasonably to get all of the juice out.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Like, you see people squeezing that pouch like there's no tomorrow to get that extra little whatever of orange flavor.
Because you're like, there's no way this is already gone. I just took two sips of this.
Yeah, that's why the adult Capri Sun is going to help us all out.
That's right, Capri Sun tall boys.
Yeah, so, you know, Kevin, you just talked about being a good teammate and supporting your guy when he kind of runs into a little bit of a rough spot. Eric did not reciprocate that in this clip.
Spit in my mouth.
That was just dead silence behind that one. So
that was from Sinners, right?
With
spit in my mouth. Okay. Hold on. Play it one more time. I don't like the pseudo seductive way I tried to do that. One more. Give me one more time. Spit in my mouth. Okay. I don't care for the way I've said that at all. Like, I could have been so much better off if I just said spit in my mouth.
I want to make him uncomfortable.
Okay, and that is Jason Kidd talking about Cooper Flagg being the primary ball handler.
I feel like I didn't even have to grab that one because Eric's got it down, man.
That's pretty good.
All right, up next, Eric was, I really don't remember what this was concerning, but Eric, as he usually does, was kind of going on a tangent about balls.
Quite the difference in ball shape and size.
I mean, that's just factual.
Yeah. That was hard hitting sports analysis is what that was.
Yeah.
Jake, take some notes, pal.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. We heard this one a little bit 30 minutes ago, but this was recently from the Cooper Flagg press conference. Figured we'd give him a shout out.
Give me some strokes.
That was about Nico, golf, laughing? You jerks. That was about golf. Stop trying to make it feel like Cooper Flagg's perving up on that podium. That was about golf and playing with Will Zalatoris, Scottie Scheffler, Bryson DeChambeau.
Your spit in my mouth thing was much more aggressive than even that.
Yeah, that one was good.
That's what Haley Steinfeld was saying.
All right, I got one more for you. And this one kind of comes into a new light after Eric was mentioning that track runner video. And after I saw it, I was like, okay, so got this little tidbit.
This is not a joke. This is 15 inches of Capri Sun, baby.
That's
or was it?
See, that's too much. Sometimes I think about with the ladies, I feel bad for them about the indecision or the great unknown when the pants come off. You know, because it might be like, hey, that'll work, or, oh, man. But, like, if you ran into that situation, you're like, what am I supposed to do with that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that's too much.
It's just describing size. I mean.
Yeah.
That is a lot of inches.
So I'm conflicted between two. Obviously, I'm not going to vote for myself, for the people who want me to.
I think this is going to be a runaway.
I think so, too.
I'm going to vote for Eric saying shake and explode and then doing it all over again.
Shake and explode, shake and explode. That's going to be an at-home exercise.
It's the last part of him saying that's going to be an at-home exercise takes that up another
notch. It's damning.
I mean, Jake, this feels like an obvious Hagee victory.
It feels like a pretty easy one, yeah.
With the Spits and Suds podcast.
I feel bad because Hagee really didn't have too many cuts this week.
Spit in my mouth. Okay, and I agree. First, shouldn't have said that. Secondly, definitely shouldn't have said it the way I said it.
Yeah, the execution on that one was truly 10 out of 10.
Third, do you think we could convince Gavin Spittle after they do their intro for the Spits and Sud podcast to just play me? Like, could we maybe mock that up in the break? Like, see if we can find how that starts and then just have me saying that.
Let's doll that up.
I think you absolutely could.
We'll get the numbers up.
Okay. There you go. In the meantime, the whole point of that was go see the movie Sinners. It's very good. Mm. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Next, right here on The Fan. Spit in my mouth.
Offensive rebound, no, secured by Gillis and Duke. Flag pushing, looks at the clock, fires a three. Down it goes! Cooper Flag beats the buzzer at the end of the first half.
That's on me. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now. Courtesy of D&M Leasing, it is time for our chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is you today?
Awesome, Hagee. Happy Friday to you, sir. How the heck are you?
Indeed. I'm doing great. Thank you very much. Now, did you guys see the news just a little bit ago? Caitlin Clark out tonight against the Wings the American Airlines Center. How big of a, I mean, not that people won't still go to the game, enjoy themselves, but how big of a disappointment do you think that
is? Huge disappointment there. A lot of folks spent, thousands of dollars to be a part of this. And, it's unfortunate, injury part of the game and stuff like that. And, if the league did a little bit better job of maybe protecting her, that, their stars would last some of these games and they would be able to play in front of a sold out arena, and which they have been. And, I feel bad for the folks that are, the Iowa contingency. There's a big Iowa contingency here in the city of Dallas.
Is that right?
Yeah, they have
I feel bad for Pease.
Their Hawkeye Club and stuff like that, they've got a lot of members here. And I'm sure they're the ones that were buying up the tickets and stuff.
Yeah.
And so, that they don't get to see their lady play tonight. And that's unfortunate.
Now, you just made a comment in there about maybe the league not doing a good job of protecting her or keeping her injury free. I know Mac just mentioned something about that as well. Do you feel as though?
Sure. Absolutely. She's a star of the game, and these officials allow, her to get beat up at various times. She's doing her best to fight. Her teammates are coming to her aid, but man, she takes a beating in these games. When you watch her play, it is a fight for her. And you want to play defense and all that, but man, I mean, she is a superstar player, and she gets hit more times than not.
I don't know if y'all have like fiery thoughts about this, but why do you think so many people outside and inside the WNBA are so hesitant to at times maybe give her the credit that she deserves for the just explosion in popularity of the WNBA?
The initial thought is jealousy.
Yeah.
Right? I do know that, just watching a lot of the sports debate shows that they have tried, race has been a big topic about that.
That's true.
Like she's a white super, but we've had a lot of other white talented WNBA players, right? Like Breanna Stewart, Sabrina Ionescu, but she just has a game that's pretty transcendent. The way that she was pulling up from the logo and draining shots at Iowa. I mean, we knew about Caitlin Clark her entire 4-year run at Iowa because she's breaking point records and she's got a game that's very similar to like a Steph Curry where she can just pull up and drain it all. And Iowa was really good with her.
Yeah.
And then it probably helps that you have the narratives that, you know, LSU's really good. So now you get a rivalry with Angel Reese and Flo-Jay Johnson and back to back years you get to play in the tournament. You know, that's something we don't really have on the men's side. So it piques interest. But yeah, I guess it's the others that have played the sport that are like, well, where was this attention for all of us?
Yeah.
It's not like this is a new game.
No, this is where she wasn't playing in the era when there were non-chartered flights and she's not one of the pillars of the WNBA. So she's looked at as veteran players like, wait a minute, we were playing in front of less than sold out arenas. You know, we were fighting to be on TV. We were fighting to get chartered flights. We were fighting to get better pay, you know. But
wouldn't you think the person who facilitates
instead of being pissed off about that she wasn't one of them that was shoulder to shoulder kind of going through the difficult growing times of this, that instead of being mad at her, be glad that her and other young players have come in the league and put eyeballs on this thing.
So I'm not, I've talked about it before, I'm not a big golf fan. And like, I know they didn't, it wasn't as niche of a sport, obviously, as the WNBA. But if I was a golfer, I said like at least once a year, I would send like Tiger Woods a fruit basket or a thank you card or something for just the way he made all of those purses explode.
Well, actually, it's LIV Golf has done this.
That's true.
It's
too.
Not Tiger Woods fought on behalf of the PGA. Greg Norman fought on behalf of LIV. And by the way, we've got the LIV tournament here in Dallas this weekend. But the LIV is the one. All of a sudden, players for years on the players committees have been fighting for bigger purses.
Yeah,
you know, been fighting. And yeah, it's golf. It's 4 days at work. You know, if you really want to go fight for somebody, fight for the guy that rides a bull every week and makes $75,000 for a year's worth of work.
Yeah.
Where these pro golfers, but it wasn't until like LIV Golf came along, and then all of a sudden the purses had to become bigger, and then there became signature events, like earmarked events. You have to play. Hey, we need you to play here at Harbortown. We need you to play at other places in order to, you know, get the eyeballs on this thing. Golf has always been popular. You know, the pay is really, really good. But it wasn't until LIV came along that it became and exploded in a way that the players really, really benefited from it.
Yeah, they are going to benefit. You know, I think, you know, to answer your question, Hagee, a little bit more from my perspective, I do think she's in your face and she's good.
Yeah.
And that is going to get some level of
criticism
and not liking. I don't want to flush the race thing, though, as just race baiting. I think there is a great white hope component of her because of the sponsors are white. A lot of the season ticket holders are white. And it's so good for business, right, for her to be elevated. So I think that's there. I would resent it. You know, she's like the eighth best player in the game as well. That's the other thing is like, she is getting way more hyped than she is affecting the game in a winning way.
Yeah. And I do get that. I just wonder sometimes if I was in the league and I was about to see the new collective bargaining agreement, which meant more money for me, better travel conditions for me.
Sure.
I get the jealousy part, but I also think I would be like,
we're also dealing with women, you know, and for being a girl soccer coach, they are more physical. They get more nasty and the refs let more physical play go, which allows it to build, you know. So I do think there's something just to the combative physical nature of it as it's playing out on television and girls are getting knocked to the floor.
Yeah.
You know, I just think it fuels the emotion of, you know, something that's. It's been prevalent in sport for a long time.
Sure.
You know, young players come into the game, they're going to get knocked down. But also, like, you can read throughout the history of the NBA, and for a long time, franchises would definitely prefer to draft a white star because they knew what it meant for business.
What do you guys got coming up on the program today?
Pure Gold, as always, thanks for asking, Hagee. We got a double guest situation here. Eric Nadel, 520, and Sands at 440. We're talking a lot of baseball with those guys. And
I like it.
Yeah.
Roll home with the G-Bag Nation. They'll lead you right into the series opener, big series, Texas against Seattle. We have been the KNC Masterpiece. Chiafalo, thank you very, very much for keeping it up this week.
Hey, my pleasure, man. Thank you.
We'll be back on Monday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105.3 The Fan.
See, I want to make him uncomfortable, Kevin.
Nobody can say that better than you.
June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-T or mensteclinic.com.